Okay, we're starting here on Mem Bet Amud Aleph, about 9 lines down. Question that the Gemara has asked before. We saw it back on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara poses again, which is Poletet Shichvat Zera Ro'ahavia Onogat Avia. When a woman has a expulsion of the Shichvat Zera that is inside of her, what is the classification of that expulsion? Is it the equivalent of a Ri'iyah? She has a sighting, the equivalent of having a sighting of Dam and Dam Nida or Zav or Shechvat Zera, Onogad Avyo. Or is it simply that she's in contact with something that is Tamei, Nafkamino? What's the difference between them? So Gemara gives three Nafkamino between them. Number one is Listor. If she is counting her Shiva Nikiim, what type of impact does this have on her Shiva Nikiim? If it's a Ri'iyah, then it would undermine her Shiva Nikiim, because that would be a ri'ah of tumah in a time period where she's trying to have no ri'iyot. On the other hand, if it's no ge'ah b'tumah, it's simply coming into contact with tumah, a woman who is counting her shiv nikiim and touches the sheretz, or comes in contact with an nevela, that doesn't undermine her shiv nikiim. We're not worried about all tumot, we're worried about tumot that are associated with ri'iyah. So that's number one. Number two is l'tamei b'mashu. Whether you need a shi'ur or not, this we dealt with back on Lamed Gimel, Rashi mentioned it, Tosafot mentioned it over there. If you say that it's ri'iyah, ri'iyah has no minimum shi'ur. We saw that in our Mishnah already. For zav, shichvat zera, valkeri, zava, nida. There is no minimum shi'ur. Even tipa is enough to make one tameah. But if it's nogeya, then you need a shiur, and that would be according to those that require kiadasha or chatimat piyama, would be if you think that it's an issue of nogeya, not an issue of ri'iya. And the last thing is, l'tamei bifnim ki bachutz, is another important factor. Remember that for a woman, her ri'iyot only have to move from the mikor, from the uterus, into the bayit achitzon. So that means that by nida, she's tmeya nida, even though it never is expelled from her body, even when it's inside of her body, as long as it's left the uterus past the shinaim, then already she is classified as being a nida. So same question here, when she's poletet the shechvat zera, does it simply have to go from bifnim to beit achitzon, or do we require it to exit the woman? Because if it doesn't exit the woman, she's not in contact with it. That's because it's tuma blua. It's tumah that's internal. Tumah that's internal does not have a din of negiyah. It's not that you're touching the shechvat zera. Manav shach. So if I was back to him, I don't understand. Ish me'alei matnita. If he had heard the braita that we brought yesterday, the braita that says that there's a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim about whether, when it comes to an issue of shechvat zera, they had a machloket about whether it's dayak bo'ala, it's only tmeah when it leaves her body, which was Rabbi Shimon's opinion, whereas the Chachamim believed that it was from the bifnim to bayit achitzon. So that was a machloket we saw between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon yesterday. So if this is your question, then if you know the braita, you know the answer. Depends who you're holding like. Because the Rabbanon, ro'ah avyo. According to Rabbanon, it's equivalent of having a sighting. Rabbi Shimon, no gatavyo. So I'm not sure what your question is. Ve'ilo shmile matanita. If you didn't hear the braita that we brought yesterday, mistavra no gatavyo. Like you said, Joel, if you had to, without any input, in terms of thinking that it's ra'ah, what would be the logical case to make over here? That it's a no gat. There's no reason to believe that she is a ra'ah here. You need a special gzeirat ha-katuv from Iyeh to include Shechvat Zera as part of her Re'iyot. So yes, if it's a Gzera Ketuv, I understand. If it's not, the logic would dictate it should just be Negiyah. So the Gemara says, Olam Shmile Matnito. He did hear about the Braita. Valive de Rabbonon Loki Mimbaile. He has no question, according to the Rabbanan, that it has to be Ro'ah, based on the Gzera Ketuv, that they learn it out of the Pasuk, that it's considered to be like one of her Re'iyot. The question arises for Rabbi Shimon. In terms of Tumah being from the uterus into the Beit HaChitzon, there's no question because Rabbi Shimon's explicit about that din. It has to leave the body. It has to be Dayaki Bo'ala. She has to be no better than Bo'ala. It must exit her body in order for her to be Tumayah. The question is, Kimai Ba'ile Listor Ulitamei B'Koshu. Mai. Rabbi Shimon's requirement of Dayake Bo'ala is simply that it has to exit the body before she is considered to be Tameah. Aval, restore, ulatame koshu, ro'ahavya. But regards to other dinim, we're gonna say that she has a din of ro'ah. Meaning that he'll agree to the position of the chachamim fundamentally that she is a ro'ah. Just, how could you make her more chamur than bo'ala? So you can't make her more chamur than bo'ala, then it has to be that it exits her body. So that's an exception to the rule of ro'ah. Or, do we say that when Rabbi Shimon is saying that when it has to exit her body, Demaloshna means that he thinks it's nogat legamre. Through and through, she's classified as a nogat, and therefore none of these didim will apply because she's a nogat, just like he said by bifnim to bechutz, that it doesn't work there, so too, it won't be soter, it won't be a koshu, all those will fall away. That's his question. Or, ikadamre, some say, lolam lo shmile matnita. He did not hear the braita. Bechocha kami baile. And this is the question that's being asked. Again, Shaul said, what do you mean? What's the question here? She should be a no-gat. Why would you think she's a ro'ah? Where it says, Mida'achmir rachmanan abale kerin b'sinai. So maybe because the Torah gives an unusual status to Balkeri, and we see that by Har Sinai. And because of that, maybe ro'ah havya. Because at Har Sinai it says, Al tikshu elisha. You're not allowed to be together with a woman for 3 days. Why can't you be together for the woman for 3 days? Because of poletet shechlet zera. We're afraid the woman would be a poletet shechlet zera, and that would make her invalid for being mikabel the Torah. She'd have a tuma of poletet shechlet zera. That is despite the fact that there was no demand. Mitzorain or Zavin had to be out of the picture. We don't see any command of shiluach tuma by them, only by Balkeri. That's the only thing that was singled out. So maybe because it was singled out, Ro'ah Havya makes the equivalent of a Riyah. Odilma, lo gamrina mi Sinai. We don't learn from Sinai, the Chidushu. It's an unusual situation, that's a unique once in a lifetime thing. It's Harat Sha'a. It's not something you can learn, the Dorot. Da, Zavinu Mitzoraim de Chamire. Because I could show you that it's a Harat Sha'a. Because in general, a Zavin and Mitzora are much more Chamur. Their status in terms of Tuma is much more significant than Balkeri or Poletet Shechlet Zera, yet, V'lo Achmir V'lo Rachmana. Despite that fact, the Torah doesn't make a demand that they leave the Machaneh in order to be Kabbalat the Torah. Or we have to wait for all of the Mitzorayim, all the Zavim, before we have Matan Torah. Even though, as Tosafot points out, we didn't get the Tzivoy of Shiluach Min HaMachaneh until Parshat Naso. We didn't get it much later. Still, knowing that Tumah is much more chamur here, and the Torah is making an emphasis on Poletet Shechlet Zera, it's clear that the Torah is focused on Tumah, and yet, it does not say you have to have the Zavim Mitzorayim leave, it just says that the Balkeri and the Poletet Shechlet Zera are problematic. Therefore, maybe it should be a Ro'ah. So he responded to him, Ro'ah havyo. She's considered to be a Ro'ah. Ata Shalilei, the Rovvo in our Gemara is the Gears according to the Bachus Rabbo. Amalei, Ro'ah havya, gives him the same answer. Ata the Kamei de Rav Yosef, he goes to Rav Yosef, Amalei, Ro'ah havya, gets the same answer from all three of them. It means Abaye, Rabbo, and Rav Yosef. How do Ata come in with Abaye? He circles back to Abaye. Amalei, Kuchu, Barokachad, Fitu. Your saliva is all the same, you come out with the same spit. You all give me the same dit. Amalei, Shapi Amri Elucho, we're giving you a good answer. Ad kan lo kamar shimon dayaki bola, elo tamei bifnim chutz, aval bistor ulo tamei bekoshu ro'avya. So you see from here that even Rabbi Shimon subscribes to that position of the Chachamim, fundamentally, that she is a ro'ah. The exception is, mi bifnim to be bechutz, because over there we say dayaki bo'ala. She should be no worse off than the one who caused her the problem. And there, by Shechvat Zera Balkeri, it has to exit the body. So to her, it has to exit the body. But other than that exception, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the Rabbanan's fundamental position that she is a Ro'ah Havya. And that's the answer that they're giving him over here, that she is a Ro'ah in this instance. Could have expressed it more broadly, right? Expressed it more broadly, although you could argue that the Braita was also addressing a very specific issue, which is the Braita says, how do I know by Nida that from Bifnim to Bechutz is considered to be Tumat Nida? Yeah, we learn how Bivsara. How do I know that's true by a Zava? Because it says Zova. How do I know it's true by Poletet Shechlet Zera? Yeah. So the Braita is addressing a very specific thing that Rabbi Shimon is responding to. So it's not necessarily fair to say that Rabbi Shimon was narrow, but you're right. Rabbi Shimon could have been more broad in his statement, Dayaka Bo'Allah, could be about everything. But here, all the Amoraim singularly believe that Rabbi Shimon's opinion about Bifnim B'Chutz is the only thing that he thinks is different, but not that the other items are different and they are considered classified like a Ro'ah. Now Tosafot points out, in other places we see that Rabbi Shimon does say that a Shechvat Zerah is not Mitame B'Mashu, and that Polenta Shechvat Zerah is not Mitame B'Mashu, which means that he thinks it's a Nogat and not a Ri'iyah. So Tosafot says, V'yesh Lomar, Rabbi Shimon Badai lo Mitame B'Mashu. That's not Rabbi Shimon's opinion. This is what our Gemara means. Afilu Man De'id Leik Rabbi Shimon Do Poletet V'lo Mitame B'Fnim B'Chutz Mikom Mekom Mitame B'Mashu. Itzavar the ish mitamei b'mashu. If you think that an ish is mitamei b'mashu, then you could say that the woman is also mitamei b'mashu. Depending on what you subscribe to in terms of dayak bo'alah, that what does the bo'al have, then that would be true of the woman as well. But Tosafot backs away from what seems to be the Gemara's conclusion that Rabbi Shimon thinks it's ro'ah. Says Rabbi Shimon doesn't think that. It's just giving you the option, according to those that want to subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that she's not mitama b'bifnim kim b'chutz. Nevertheless, you could still say by the other items that she has a din of mashu, she has a din of ro'ah. I mean, even the story, everybody would agree that in terms of Shechvat Zerah, it's soter one day. Today, we make it into a non-issue. We had this back in Lamed Gimel and Aleph. There, the Gemara discussed the issue of listor, whether it's one day or 7 days. Today, the halacha, we avoid that problem by saying that a woman may not begin counting her shivni ki'im until she's waited a minimum of, right, so Shaul says 5 days. Now, truthfully, all we'd require was 3 days. 3 days would have gotten you out of the problem with Poletet Shechvat Zerah. The problem with the Poletet Shechvat Zerah is that it's a 72-hour period, it's not 3 days. So 72 hours could ride over 4 days, because it depends when in the day that she had the bi'ah. So therefore, we say she has to wait a minimum of 4 days before she may count her shivni ki'im. So how do we get to 5 days? From that Gemara, and Tosafot himself says on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph that a woman only has to wait. Today, our women should wait 4 days before they count their shivni ki'im. All of a sudden, we have a 5th day. So that comes out of the Torah Tabayit, quoted by the Ramah from other Rishonim, that we worry about the fact that she had bi'ah right around Ben HaShemashot. And since she had bi'ah around Ben HaShemashot, she doesn't know whether it's day or night. And so she'll count it as being daytime when it's really nighttime, and she really needs to wait an extra day at the end.
That's not why we get the fourth day?
The 4th day has to do with the 72 hours, and then the 5th day is because of this problem of Ben HaShemashot, that you might, at Ben HaShemashot, she'll get into a position where it's really goes into a 5th day. Truthfully, to get to 5 days then, it means that you're counting Ben HaShemashot as being the day before, and the next Ben HaShemashot being the day afterwards.
They're really mutually exclusive.
Correct. I mean, it depends. Rashi thinks you can have sometimes the better special be Yom and sometimes be Laila. He does think you can do both. But still, the case is a very, very narrow case that we worry about in terms of 5 days. It's also unusual because not only are we Quraysh, like the Gemara says, an Ona before the Veset, and on top of that, many people are Machmir for the Sheet of the Or Zeruah to be Quraysh two Onot beforehand and Ona before the Ona. So the possibility of having Ben HaShemashot Liyah is very unlikely. Yeah, we still wait 5 days. Truthfully, it has very little nafkamina. There are very few women that have a cycle short enough that they'd be able to count Shivani Kiyim within that 5 day period. But still, the halacha develops, you can see from this, about stira, from the Gemara back on Lamed Gimel, gets to 3 days, then to 4 days, and then to 5 days. By the time you're in the Ramah, it says that we're machmir for this issue of Ben HaShemashot, and that's why we wait 5 days before we count Shivani Kiyim, not to have a problem of stira from Poletet Shechvat Zerah. Tanrabanan, Anida Vazava Vashomeret Yom Keneged Yom Vayoledet Kulam Mitamot Bifnim Ki Vachutz. So we have Nida Zava and Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. We already know that, we know from the Psukim that we understand already. The problem is going to come out with what Yoledet. What does it mean? Yoledet is Ru'ah to Mitama Bifnim Ki Vachutz. Bishlam Al Kulo Lechayet. I understand all of that. Ella Yoledet. What are you talking about in terms of a Yoledet? Ibi may Nida. If she starts having Dam and going into her Leida when she's in her days of Nida, then she's a Nida. Ibi mei Ziva, Ziva. The Dam of Leida, it comes at a time when she's either a Nida or a Zava, and they have the same classification. Now, whether she's Tmeya or not will depend on whether it's connected to the Leida. But nevertheless, the Dam is designated like Dam Nida or Dam Ziva. It just happens to be Dam Nida is Tmeya, Dam Ziva is Torah, it's connected to the Leida. But it's still called Dam Ziva. So we should know the halacha. Lo tzricha, she are dalit vol mitum alitara. It's talking about the end of her 7 days for a zachar, or 14 days for a nekeva. There she switches over from seeing dam tmeah to dam teora. So she goes to the mitzvah. We hold like Beit Hillel, and it's tamui biyamim ubitzvilot. She has to wait the 7 days, then go to the mitzvah. 14 days, go to the mitzvah. She's going down to the mitzvah. V'chi adamai Rabbi Zera mechir barashi marav yoledet she'arda litvol. A woman who gave birth is going down to the mitzvah. Mituma l'tara, moving from her days of tuma to her days of tara. V'ne'akar mimena dam birida. On her way down to the mikveh, she has a sensation of blood leaving the mikor. Tmei'ah. Then she'll be tmei'ah. Be'aliyah. After she went to the mikveh, she has the sensation of blood leaving the mikor. Tehora. Now when we're talking about tmei'ah and tehora over here, we're not talking about the woman herself. The woman herself, in the other instance, is tehora at this point in time. Because in terms of ri'iyah, she has ri'at tehora once she goes to the mikveh. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're speaking about here is whether the dam itself is tmeah or torah. You can see that in Tosafot. That's meah adam tmeah. The yomi tzvila tali rachmanim. It's meah isha mishum nogeya tumat erev. The tumah we're talking about here for the isha is that she comes into contact with damim that are tmeim. So it doesn't matter if she has a ri'yah right before she goes to the mikveh. So you made tmeah after 7 days or 14 days. It doesn't matter anymore. Any ri'yah that she has now once she hits the mikveh. Any riyah after that, she's, as a woman, is tehora. The question only is, the dam left her body before she went to the mikveh. So that dam is dam tameh. If she sees the dam after she's got to the mikveh, the dam that exits her body is dam tahor. Our question is about the damim, not about the woman. The woman, when she enters the mikveh, becomes tahor, because she's got the requisite days, and she went to the mikveh. So she's done in terms of tumah of herself. But what we don't know is that dam that's inside of her, when did it exit? If it exited before she went to the mikveh, it exited when's the time that she would have been tmei'ah. So because of that, the dam has the status of tumah. On the other hand, if it exits her body after she leaves the mikveh, it's the status of dam tohor. For the woman, the only nafkamina is if she comes in contact with that dam. When it leaves her body, ish to be tumah to erev, because she came to contact with dam tamei, or is she in contact with dam tohor. As far as the woman herself, she is tehora in terms of tumat leida. That's done because she went to the mikveh. That's done already.
Theoretically, the dam itself, why is
the dam tameh?
Only because she's
tameh. Right, because she still has the status of
nida. That's what I'm saying.
So until she goes to the mikveh, she remains in that status. She's seeing the dam on the way down the stairs to the mikveh.
The same dam, if she would have been after the mikveh,
it's fine. Correct.
So what makes it tameh?
That she was tameh. But when she becomes tahor, she's not mitahir of the dam. The dam already left her body, so she can't make the dam tahor. You can't be mitahir dam, that's tameh. There's no tahara for dam. There's tahara for guf, not tahara for dam. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, the Rabbi Zera, Birida, my tmeah, tum ablu ahi. On her way down, why is she tmeah? She's not in contact with the dam. The dam is internal to her, and that is tum ablua. In terms of ri'yah, it's true. It's called a ri'yah when it's still internal. But in terms of negi'ah, she's not in contact with this dam until it leaves her body. Then she comes into contact with the dam. As long as it's inside of her, it's tuma'ah that is swallowed up inside of her. It's internal. Internal is dam, no matter what. It's tamei. Something that's tamei that's internal is not mitamei, the individual. It's only mitamei then once it exits their body. The problem is it hasn't left her body yet. So why is the statement over here, you see the statement of Rechir Ba'ashi Marav, then when she goes down, she's tamei'ah. What do you mean she's tamei'ah? She didn't have a negi'ah yet. The blood did not leave her body yet. That's the case. She will be tmeah. You're right. When it exits her body, she will be tmeah. But as of right now, why is she tmeah? Samalei, zil shayli the Rabbi Avin. Go to Rabbi Avin to ask Britney Ale. I already explained it to him. I gave him an answer for Kakashli Beresha Beit Midrash. And he gave me a shake of his head in the Beit Midrash to say that I think you're right. So azul shayli. So Rabbi Yirmiya goes to Rabbi Avin to hear the explanation of Rabbi Zera. Samalei, asua kinivalat oftor. It's equivalent of a nevilat of tor. How do you become tamei from a nevilat of tor? There's only one way. Nevilat of tor only conveys to mind one way, and that's when you swallow it. When it goes into the Beit HaBliya. So when it goes into Beit HaBliya, it's mitama bigadim a Beit HaBliya. When you swallow the nevilat of tor, not only does it make the individual tamei, it also makes his clothing tamei. Me dummy. How are you creating this? Hotam in la tuma bachutz. Over there, by Nevela Tov Torah, like Shul says, that's the only way that the tuma is conveyed. There is no other alternative. There is never tumat maga by Nevela Tov. And the Torah, when it tells you when you become tamei, It's only when you swallow it. And it tells you what the prescription is when you swallow it. That means that you become Tameh and your Begadim come Tameh. And since there's only one way to get there through swallowing, then that must be the way that it happens. It doesn't have an issue of Tumah Blua. Here there is another option. When the blood leaves her, she becomes Tameya. I mean that the only option isn't just that the dam is inside. There's another option. The dam exits her body. So when it says, Achanami, she etzei lachutz, that when it exits her body. And Achanami, that's what we meant. We meant over here that when it leaves her body, then she'll become Tameya. So, Iyatza lachutz, Maile Memro. If it leaves her body, what are you talking about? Of course she's Tameya now, because she's in contact with Dam Tameh. So Madu Tame, I would have thought, Migo Damani Tvila Ladam, Ika Gavai, Tani Namilahai, ooh. So this is somewhat along the lines of what David was saying before. Here, the Tvila helps her. It helps any Dam that's left in the Mikor to make the Tahor. So maybe it should also help the Dam that's in her Beit HaChitzon. Tani Namilahai, Kamash Malon, that is not the case. That it does not help the dam that's in the Beit HaChitzon, that's in the Puzdor, that dam will remain Tameh. And when it exits her body, she will become Tmeah, Tumat Erev, for coming to contact with Dam Tameh. So, Shmaitin Ifrik. So first of all, it's clear that Rabbi Zera's explanation now is discarded. Because if you say Shkizyetzeh Lechutz, it has nothing to do with the Velatov Tor. Velatov Tor is an explanation for when it's internal. When you say Shkizyetzeh Lechutz, that's already a rejection of that explanation of the Velat of Tohar. If that's the case, whatever Rabbi Zera's explanation was is no longer the right explanation for this. Ella, Yoledet. So then, now let's go back and understand, what are we talking about by Yoledet? We thought now we were talking about Yoledet was a case of Metameh Bifnim Ki Bachutz, and then we would explain that based on, when it's a case, Yardad L'Tvol Mitumah L'Tara, and similar to Rabbi Zera's explanation. The problem is now that we've now said that Rabbi Zera's case is a case where it left the body. But if it left the body, that's not what the Braita was talking about. The Braita was talking about, it's talking about Tumah Bifnim to Bechutz. And when Tumah going from Bifnim to Bechutz, that's Tmeah, or it affects her. Over here, that's not true. This Dam Tmeah will only affect her when it leaves her body. So now we're back to square one. What do we do with the Oledet in the Braita? So that's what the Gemara says, Eli Oledet. What are we going to do with it? Ibimei Nida Nida. Ibimei Ziva Ziva. When it says, Alchemaskinan beleida yveshta. Talking about a dry leida, she's giving birth to a child and sees no damim. So now, my mitameh bifnim kibachotika. Well, if there's no damim, then what is the tuma that's going from the mikor to the outer area? There is nothing moving anymore. When it says, Yon jotziyav lad rosho chutz lapuzdor. Has to do with the baby itself. When does the leida happen? Does leida happen when the baby exits? Or is it enough that the baby leaves the mikor into the Beit HaChitzon when it moves into the Pruzdor? Ukad Rav Oshia, Dam Rav Oshia, Gzeira, Shem Yotzia, Vlad Rosho, Chutz LaPruzdor. So Rabbi Oshia has a Gzeira that, in terms of a midwife who sticks her hand into the woman to take out the baby, and it happens to be that this baby is a stillborn. And therefore the baby, when it exits, will be Metamei Kemet. As long as the baby's inside the woman, it's Tumah Blu'ah, has no impact. And technically, if the midwife sticks her hand in there and touches the baby, she's not Tmei'ah Tumat Mate, because it's Tumah Blu'ah, it's inside the woman. Nevertheless, Rav Oshia says we have a gzeira that midwife is Tamei Tumat Mate, because we're afraid that she's not going to know when the baby moves, exactly when it moves from the Bifnim to the Bichutz. That's already classified as a Leida. Once it's classified as a Leida, it's no longer considered to be Tumah Blu'ah. It's now exited. And if it's exited, she is Tameh Tumat Tameh. So Rabbi Oshia goes there in that case, that the midwife is automatically, she touches the baby, Tmeah Tumat Tameh, because of that. V'chi hawa da'at l'kamei d'Rava, like this case that came before Rava. So Amar Lei, ma'u l'mamel b'shabto. Person queried Rava and said, are you allowed to do a meal on Shabbat? Amar Lei, shapir dami, of course. But in an awful walk after he went out, Amar Rava, saka da'at ko da'au gavra lo yada, d'shari l'mamel b'shabto. Says, wait a minute. He doesn't know that you can have a meal on Shabbat? I mean, this man has been around for a while. He's got to have seen a meal on Shabbat. He doesn't know that meal is Doche Shabbat. So what do you mean that he needs to come and ask me a question? Is meal Doche Shabbat? So he says, there must be something more in this case. Azal Batrei. He ran after him. Amalei, Emily, Izi, Gufa, Du'uvda, Echiava. Tell me the details behind the case that you're asking about. Amalei, Shami'id, Vlad, Ditzavit, Apanya, Demali, Shabto. So it's getting late on Friday afternoon. My wife was giving birth and I heard the baby screaming. V'lo yidyale that Shabbat, but it wasn't born until Shabbat itself. Amalei, Rav responds to him, Hai Hutsi Roshol Chutz Leprusdoro. It's clear by the fact that you heard the baby before Shabbat that the baby already had exited. If that's the case, then the baby's born on Friday, not on Shabbat. Favimila Shalob is Mano. That makes the Milo not on Shabbat, because that'll make it the ninth day, not the eighth day. Chomila Shalob is Mano, Eme Chalon Aleta Shabbat. There is no Milo, it's only Docho Shabbat when it's Bizmana, when it's the eighth day, not when it's not Bizmana. So because of that, he says, ah, now I understand, but it's the same thing that we're saying over here, which is that their birth happens when it moves into the Prusdor. If you look in Tosafot, Shautzi of Larisho, Chutz leprusdor, Aval Prusdor Atzmo, Tehora, Telo Choshev Kibachutz. The Prusdor itself is classified as being internal. So that's moved from the Bifnim into the Prusdor to the area that's classified as Bechutz. Yeah, it must be something past the Shinaim or some location. Tosafot points out, we define Prusdor differently in other places. At the end of that Tosafot, he says, Yesh Lomar, the Prusdor, the Hatam, Lo Aviki Hai, the Hocha. That the Prusdor sometimes has different meanings. So we saw in Bechorot, that has to do with the Prusdor, that a behemoth does not have a Prusdor, a woman has a Prusdor. And therefore maybe we have to have a different limud for each one of them. Because a woman is not considered giving birth until she leaves the Prusdor. Over there, it's really exiting the woman. So we say, oh, maybe she'll cover it up with her thighs. Covering up with her thighs means the baby's really out, but she's covering it with her thighs. Over here, we're talking about the fact that the baby's out, and it's really not out. So he's saying the word Prusdor means two different things. Here it means it's still internal, but it's considered out. Over there it means really it's out, but it's covered. So he says you have to say that the word Prusdor means different things in different places. So it's hard to know when he says here that it moved through the Prusdor, where we're talking about. But it's clear that it doesn't mean it's exited the woman. It means that it's exited the uterus and something more than that, in order to get to the point where it's considered a Leida. Alright, so now, Yibailu. Oto makom shalisha balua avi o beta starim avi. It's an interesting question. The internal part of the woman, where we know that you don't have tumah there, why is it that tumah nigiyah does not apply there? Is it because it's balua, it's internal, or is it a beit hastarim? Beit hastarim is something that's not visible to the eye. Since it's not visible to the eye, it's not tmei'ah. So that could be something external on your body. The Gemara always gives examples of rolls of fat. The rolls of fat on an individual, if something gets stuck in between the rolls of fat, is that, that's considered beta starim. It's not visible. It's covered up. So that is a din of beta starim. You cannot be tamei in that location. What's the nafkamina, whether it's blu'a or beta starim? The difference is if it's blu'a, it's considered to be internal. The tumah is as if it doesn't exist. It's as if it's not there at all. It's batel. On the other hand, beta starim, the tumah is not mitamei derech maga, but the tumah still exists. That means if you carry the tumah, if it's a type of tumah that can convey tumah through carrying, then you will be tamei because of nasa, not because of naga, but because of nasa. So that's Gemara's question here. The dam that's inside of her, there is no tumah negiyah. Is that because it's beta stari, or is that because it's tumah blua? L'may nafkamina? Kagon shetach v'alo achaverta gezait nevila v'oto makom. Obviously a theoretical case to try to figure out what the din is. If another woman stuck a gezait nevila into the prusdor, into the beit achitzon, what's the status of that nevila in terms of the woman? Now nevela can convey tumah in two ways. Negiyah, contact, or through nasa, carrying it. So over here, it's clear that negiyah won't work. That's, whether it's glua or beta starim, through negiyah she will not be tmeyah. The only question is, now if she walks around with it, is she tmeyah tumat masa? If it's tumat glua, then there's no tumat masa, it's as if the tumat doesn't exist. If it's beta starim, then when she walks around, then she becomes tmeyah tumat nevela, because she's carrying on a nevela. So iyamar glua via tumat glua lo mitama, it's gone. Iyamar beta starim avi nehidema galo mitamya, bebasa miya mitamya. So Abaye says blua avio. It's tuma blua and doesn't exist. Rav Amar beta starim avi, and therefore she is tmeya tumat masa. Amarav amina aminola. I can prove it to you. Detanyo, we have a bright dialed nation tumat beta starimi. As we saw earlier, that the gzeret hakatuv. Why is a woman when she has bia with a man? How come she's tmeya? It's tumat beta starim. So what was the answer? Gzerat HaKatuvu. Gzerat HaKatuvu, she's Tmeya. But what did the Braita classify it as? It says that when she has Bia with a man and there's Shechmet Zer inside of her, it's Tumat Beit HaStarim. Why does it call it Tumat Beit HaStarim? She called it Tumat Blua. The answer is that it's Gzerat HaKatuvu. The question is, why does the Braita term it as Beit HaStarim before it has Gzerat HaKatuvu? So Rabbi says, I'll tell you why. Tumat HaStarim lo mitam ha'ilek she Gzerat HaKatuvu. So Baye says, V'chadu ba'od kamar. It's a double level in the Braita. Chado to Tuma Bluahi. Number one, the reason she's not Tumei'ah is because it's Tuma Bluah. But in addition to that, Ba'od, Afilu im Timsalomar Tumat Beit Asterimi, even if you think it's Tumat Beit Asterim, Eina Mitama, Elik Shekzerat Akdubi. Either way, the Sheikh Metzera is not Mitama because it's through Nikiya. Whether it's Bluah or Beit Asterim, the answer in the end is, why is it Mitameir? It's because it's Gzerat HaGutu. So, Yibailu, Makom Nevela To'ov To'or, Baluavi, or Beit Asterim, Abi. So, while we're on this, the area where you swallow, what's called Beit HaBliah, the place where you can fit Nevela To'ov To'or, is defined by the place where when you swallow, you cannot bring it back up. You can no longer take the food out of your mouth or reject it from your throat. That's how it's far enough back in the throat that it would force, you're in an involuntary situation where you'll swallow it. That Beit HaBliah, where the Nevela of Tov Tor makes a person Tamei, what is the classification of that area? Is that area considered to be Balua or Beit HaStarim? Lamai Nafkamina, the same Nafkamina as we had in the other case. Kagon Shetachav Lo Chaviro, his friend, good friend of his, put in a Kazait Nevela right there. If it's Tuma Blua, there's nothing to talk about anymore because it's as if it doesn't exist. If it's Beit HaStarim, Havi Nihi Nami De Magalo Metama B'Masami Metama, where they're in the Vela, the Vela can convey Tuma through Masa, and he's carrying it. It's in the back of his throat here. He's not in contact with it, but he's carrying it, and he should be Tamei because of that. Again, the same Machloka, the Bayi Amar Balua Havi, Rabba Amar Beit HaStarim Havi. This time, though, Abaye has the proof. Amar Abaye, Min Amin Olo, where I'll prove that to you for the time, you have a Braita. I would think that in the Velat Beima, Tamalomar, Nevelat Shefalo Yuchal. So this is called Nevelat Of Tohor. Where the Pasuk says, Nevelat Shefalo Yuchal Utamaba. Mi Shein La Tuma El Achilata. Yatzduzu Shetmea Kodem Sheyoch Lena. It's only true by the Nevelat Of Tohor. Nevelat Of Tohor, which has Tuma in Beit HaBliah. But that Tuma is limited, the item that only gets Tuma, or can only convey Tuma through swallowing. The Vela has other tumult, Nigia, Nasa, all types of tumult. It's not the only way you can come to make Tumat the Vela, and therefore there's a mute that excludes it from the Pasuk. The Tosfos says it's not a mute. Lav miuto. It's not a mute. Ella, she'enu b'chlala Pasuk. She's not included in the Tuma of Tumat and Vela Tov Tohor. It's not a mute to say that that's excluded. It's just saying that that doesn't qualify to have that Tumah. The Torah is saying it's a Gilui Milta that this Pasuk doesn't apply to it. Why he's saying it's not a mute is once the Pasuk is memayated, then there's no question you can't include it. Gemara now is going to ask, why can't you include it from a Kav V'Chomer? Now, Kav V'Chomer only works. It's a logical argument if you don't have a Gzer the Ketubah that says it's not there. So all Tosu says is that what the Gemara is saying until now is a Gilui Milta that it's not automatically included in the Pasuk. But if we find another way to get it in there, it'll be fine. And that's what he says here. Take the Kav V'Chomer in Nevelat Tov Tor. Ma Nevelat Tov Tor she'en la Tuma b'b'chutz, yesh la Tuma b'fnim. It only has one type of Tuma, through swallowing. No other Tuma. Zu she'esh la Tuma b'chutz Nevelat Be'ema, that has Tuma even outside. In Udin she'esh la Tuma b'fnim. Amar Kra ba v'lo b'acher. Now we have a miut. Here's a miut that says not included in the Pasuk, period. So once you have a miut, Kav V'Chomer doesn't matter anymore. That changes. Before it wasn't a miut. It was simply a gilui milta that it doesn't belong in the pasuk. Now we're at the point where it's a miut and therefore the Kav V'Chomer won't cover it.
What you see from this braita is that Tumat Nevela has no shaychut to the Beit HaBliah. There is no Tuma of Tumat Nevela chutz mi Nevela Tov Tohor in the Beit HaBliah, which means that it's classified as Tuma Blua like Abaye is saying. And that's why the braita over here says that when it comes to a Nevela, Ein la shum tuma, it has no tuma whatsoever in the Beit HaBliah, not maga, not masa.
So Gemara says, im kein, my tamad omar, va'uchel. By tumat nevela, by the parsha of tumat nevela in Vayikra, in Parshat Shmini, it says, va'uchel, someone who eats a nevela. So the Gemara says, itein shiur lenogeya velenosei keochel. It's not telling me to teach you that one who eats it is tamei. Rather, it comes to teach you that one who is in contact with a nevela, or one who carries a nevela, how much do they have to come into contact with, or carry in order to be tamei? Ma uchel b'gzayit, af nogev noseh b'gzayit. It's a gzayit. Just like a chila is a gzayit, so too nogev noseh is a gzayit. And the reason when we say va'ochel by nevela, that we're talking about tumat maga and tumat masa, is because the Gemara thinks that it's unnecessary to tell us about achila. Person will already be tamei when he comes into contact with the nevela. So achila is irrelevant in terms of tuma because either tumat maga, masa, there are other ways to become tamei before you ever swallow or eat. the nevela. And therefore the achila must be not kipshuto, but rather bringing a shir for nogeya vinosei. And the other thing that Tosfot mentions over here, what does Rava do with this braita that Abaye brings? Before, when Rava brought a braita, Abaye responded. Over here, Rava does not respond to the braita. He says, "Ma yitaretz Rava min a braita." Says Yesh Lomar, the Marikon Shbeita Bli Arachav. He had a very wide. Lo yasit nevelah shetachavlo chaveiro. Be a case where he wouldn't be tumat masa when it's in there. Such a wide area that he doesn't consider tumat masa, then that's what that braita is talking about. But a narrow beit abliyah, because that narrow beit abliyah, you'll have to carry it. By that beit abliyah that's very wide, you won't have to carry it. So therefore, whatever the braita says is not relevant to what Rav is talking about. Rav is talking about regular cases of tumat masa. How come there's no tumat masa mentioned in the braita? It's because it's a very wide beit abliyah. But in a regular case where a person doesn't have such a wide beit abliyah, there would be tumat masa. He says this break is an exception because it doesn't have the normal conditions that would make it tumat masa. That's what Tosfot answers for. Amar Rava, sheretz bekomto tahor, nevela bekomto tamei. If he has inside the folds of fat in his body, if he has a sheretz caught in there, he's tahor. If it's a nevela caught in there, he's tamei. Why? Sheretz bekomto tahor, sheretz benegiahu demitamei, ubeit esterim lav bar magal. Only way that a sheretz conveys tumah is through contact. Contact in beit esterim is not classified as contact. Nevela bekomto tamei. Why? Nehide magalo mitamei b'masa miyom mitamei. It's not mitamei magal because it's beit esterim, but it is mitamei b'masa. Sheretz bekomto v'ichniso l'avir tanur tamei. If he has a sheretz inside the folds of fat, he's not tamei from contact, and then he goes into a tanur. A tanur is a klicheres. Klicheres can accept tumah even from its airspace. So if there's a sheretz in its airspace, it gets tumah. Where it says pshita. Why would you think otherwise? It's all about airspace. The sheretz is in the airspace. There's nothing to talk about. It's not tumah blua, which is as if the tumah doesn't exist. The tumah exists. It just it doesn't create tumah through nigiyah. Where it says ma'udotema tochoach marachmana. We have a principle by klicheres that only the inside of a klicheres is tameh, but lo toch tocho. But not something that is inside something else. If you have another kli cheres inside the tanur whose top is above the tanur, it will not accept tumah because that's inside two things. It doesn't work. So maybe we think here it's also internal to internal, and therefore it won't convey tumah. The answer is no. The tumat beit esterim doesn't mean it is if it's in something. It's not encapsulated when it's a tumat beit esterim. It's simply a tour when it comes to nigiyah. So amar ish lokish kane bekomto shel zav. If you have a staff that is in the folds of fat of a zav, v'sipo et tahor, and he moves someone who's tahor with that staff. He does something with them, tahor. That person remains tahor. Kane bekomto shel tahor. On the other hand, if the staff is inside the folds of the fat of the tahor person, v'sipo et zav, and he moves the zav, tamei, then he is tamei. My time. Damar kra. Chol asher yigabo azav, v'yadav lo shatav b'mayim. It says that anything that the zav comes into contact with, yadav lo shatav b'mayim is a different din. That tells us you need netilat yadayim. Nothing to do with our sugya. But here, chol asher yigabo azav, anything that the zav comes into contact with, zeu eseto shel zav. That's the source for the fact that when a zav moves something or causes something to move, that item becomes tamei. But that means that it's a derivative of tumat negiyah. As a derivative of tumat negiyah, so yo matzino lo tumah b'chol ha-Torah kula. Nowhere else in the Torah do we find a source for this idea of heseit. You have tumat negiyah, which is coming into contact with something. Tumat masah is you carry something. Tumat heseit is if you sit on something and then it moves something on the other side. So for instance, a seesaw or something where you have contact and you, by making contact with this item, cause the other item to move. So that tumat heseit is classified in the Torah out of a pasuk of chol ha-Torah yigabo. It's been defined by Nikiaki Adav. Ma adam evrai, avocha evrai. So just like over there it has to be external, so too over here it has to be external. So Rashi and Tosafot argue about what the meaning of this is over here. Rashi says that when it means external, it means that just like by Heseit, it's classified as Tumat Nigia.
Because we learn Heseit out of the Pasuk here, b'chol asher yigabo azav, yadav lo shatav b'mayim. That pasuk is extraneous, superfluous, because we read out a pasuk that told us, "Vanogeba basar azav yichabes baka adav." So we already have a din of negiah found in the parsha. So this obviously is not talking about negiah, but rather about heseit. Rashi then says that heseit is mar'ah to us the definition of negiah in other places. And just like the heseit over here is governed by v'yadav lo shatav b'mayim, has to be talking about Yadayim that are bigalui. So too, when we talk about Negiah in Tumah anywhere else in the Torah, that Negiah must be bigalui.
Negiah in Beit HaSterim doesn't work. So now, if you're the Zav, and you come into contact with someone else to their Beit HaSterim, they wouldn't be Tameh. So over here too, the Zav has the Kaneh in his Beit HaSterim. So that's as if he didn't touch them. It's as if he made no contact with them because that's not classified as a Negiah. But the other way around, if the Tahor has it in their fold, and they're making moving the Zav, there's no dispensation there. There it's not about Tumat Maga, that's about Tumat HaSeit. Over there, Tumat HaSeit is independent. It comes from Masa. It's independent of Negiah. Because Negiah only references it as Choshi Gabo HaZav. When the Zav touches you, that's when you have this tour dispensation of Tumat HaSeit and Maga, that it's like Maga. But when you come into contact with the Zav, there's no such dispensation. There's no protection of Negiah. Correct. HaSeit works in both directions. Correct. Rashi says that it only works in one direction because the Pasuk is only written by the Zav, not written by the Tahor. Tosafot says, I don't understand. Tumat HaSeit is all learned out of the same place. It shouldn't matter which way you're going. And therefore, Ela Nirala for Eish B'Zav B'Sheretz Nebeila Shinagubis Tetro Shol Tahor. The Tahor, Lav Mizav, Yalfina, El Yalfina, Milashon Nigia, Ktib B'Chulu. Shon Nigia Mashma Me'Evray, Shigat Tahor B'Galui B'Tum'ah. Not because of what we've been saying until now.
That we learned this out from the Din of Zav, the fact that HaSeit was said in Lashon Nigia. And that gives us the definition of Negiah b'chol ha'Torah kula, like Rashi said. But rather, Tosafot says that the definition of Negiah is that it's an open and clear contact. That Negiah throughout the Torah, even without Zav, means open and contact, not with Beit HaSterim. Why do we need a special limud here by Zav? Because the Gemara changed the word Negiah over here, not to mean the standard definition of Negiah, but rather to be Negiah of HaSeit. So therefore, it needs an additional limud to tell you, even though it's HaSeit, it still has the same requirements or the same definition as Negiah b'chol ha'Torah kula, which is Yadav, that it be bigalui. And based on that, any Negiah, that doesn't matter whether it's the Zav touching the Tahor or the Tahor touching the Zav, it has to be done bigalui. It can't be through Beit HaSterim. On the other hand, when it comes to HaSeit, it will make a difference. Like Rashi said, the Tumah of HaSeit, of the Zav towards the Tahor, which is unique to Zav. There's nowhere else in the Torah that we have this. It'll be governed by Yadav, that it has to be done like any other Negiah. Whereas, when it comes to the Tahor moving the Zav, there it's under the framework or the rubric of Masa. And in Masa, there is no such thing as Tumah B'Galui. It's just regular, any type of contact, any type of movement, because Masa is even Mitamei B'Beit HaSterim. So it's not connected to Galui. And therefore, when it comes to the Tahor moving the Zav, Beit HaSterim has no impact. When it comes to the Zav moving the Tahor, Beit HaSterim does have an impact.
So that's the difference between Rashi and Tosafot. I'll read the end of this. The Kaneh itself will not convey Tumah. Either if it's a Pshutei Kliyot, or even if it's not Pshutei Kliyot, it would be a Rishon on the Tumah that cannot make an Adam Tameh. It can't transfer the Tumah. So the only way to make the other person Tameh is from what comes into contact with the Zav. That's in a place that doesn't have meaning.
Rashi and Tosafot both agree that the difference between the Zav being Mesit the Tahor and the Tahor being Mesit the Zav is where it's derived from. The Zav being Mesit the Tahor is derived from the Pasuk of V'chol Asher Yiga Bo Azav, whereas the Tahor being Mesit the Zav is like Tumat Masa B'chol HaTorah Kula. And that's what brings about the difference in Din here. The Machloket between them is, how does that have a broader application B'chol HaTorah Kula? Rashi says, from Zav, the fact that it uses the term Negiah by HaSeit, that teaches us that Negiah b'chol ha'Torah kula means bigalui. Tosafot disagrees and says that is the definition of the word Negiah. Negiah inherently means open and exposed touching. So why over here do we need a special limud? Because over here, the Gemara took the Negiah out of Pshuto Shel Mikra and called it HaSeit. So now the Gemara wants to know, well, once you've taken out a midin to HaSeit, does it still have the din of Negiah B'Galui? The answer is yes, because of the word Yadav, to teach you that it is B'Galui. And therefore, any Negiah in either direction, as well as the HaSeit by the Zav of the Tahor, which has this limud of Negiah, has to be done B'Galui. The exception will be the HaSeit of the Zav by the Tahor, because over there, it's not part of this world of Negiah, it's part of the world of Masa. And therefore, the Tahor will be Tameh.
It will stop over here.